It's always great to bring your fans with you wherever you go. So, all right. So, I don't. Oh, that's sad. I'm sorry. It's okay. It's good for you. I don't know about you. So, I like if you spend any time with me at all, and anybody who's spent any time with me eventually hears these words coming out of my mouth. Road trip. We love road trips. Our family loves road trip. I had for a project, I was like figuring out how many miles I'd traveled in road trips and realized that I had on road trips traveled from the northern point of Alaska all the way to the southern tip of Africa, down and back twice. And so like that's a long lot of driving in my life. I love road trips. And one of the most important things about a good road trip, aside from the snacks? The music. Road trip music. So we have a song my kids discovered the year we moved here. And it's a great road trip song because it's 11 and a half minutes long. My kids pretty much can sing the song, I think, forward and backward. My wife can't stand the song because she's heard it so much. And when they sing it, they don't take 11 and a half minutes to sing it. They take like probably 20 minutes to sing it. And they draw the thing out, and it's epic. But it is by the great classic composer Weird Al Yankovic. And the song is called Albuquerque. And if you know anything about Weird Al, it's a weird journey through oddity. And it's a bit of a road trip. But at the very beginning of the song, he talks about how every single morning his mother gives him a big bowl of sauerkraut. And he says, he's like, why do I get the sauerkraut? And she yells at him, because it's good for you. And whether or not a big bowl of sauerkraut every single morning is good for you, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the medicinal qualities of that. But, you know, there are a lot of things we do and take because it's good for you, whether we like it or not. That poor child who was crying as they went away. You know, parents are thinking, yeah, please go. It's good for you. You know, some of us take vitamins because they're good for you. These are sweet, so I don't know if they're good for you or not, but they taste good. And I know I've had to tell my children at one point, one of the younger ones was like taking more than they should. And I was like, what are you doing? I'm taking my vitamins, not that many. How many of you Flintstone kids? You know, 10 million strong and growing? Yes, as a kid. I did not take Flintstones as a kid because they were good for me. I took them because they tasted good. And so we do things, sometimes we do them because they're good for us. Sometimes we know things are good for us, but we don't do them. I don't know about everyone else, but exercise is not on the top of my list, even though I know it's good for me. We do things that aren't good for us, and we know they're not good for us. Nachos at 11 o'clock at night, not good for you, but taste oh so good. Taco Bell, I'm not sure at any time of the day Taco Bell is good for you or not, but once again, I like Taco Bell. So, you know, there's things that we do, things that we don't do that are good for us, and things that we do and don't do that are not good for us. And one of the things is we're in this series called People of the Spirit. And as we were preparing for this week, I was thinking about this week, we're going to talk a bit about being a forgiving community. And as people of the Spirit, we are should be a forgiving community. And as we journey through life, we need to be forgiving people. And so as I was thinking about things that are good for us, I was like, you know, forgiveness is, it's good for you. I was kind of like, you know, wrestling around. Hey, you know, forgiveness is good for you. And so as we looked at this morning, here's our big idea, our big thought here, is a forgiving community is a watermark on a Spirit-filled people. A forgiving community is a watermark on a Spirit-filled people. Now, if you're not familiar with what a watermark is, I have a picture there Kendra's going to throw up there. So a watermark shows possession or authenticity. So you get a check, it has a watermark on it to show that it's an original document, it's authentic. Photos online and stuff, they put a watermark on there to show possession. Like this beautiful picture here of rocks in probably Arizona or Utah Bryce Canyon, my wife's been there, belongs to Aaron. He took that photo, that's his photo. It's watermarked. And so a forgiving community is a watermark of a Spirit-filled people. As people of the Spirit, people filled by the Spirit. You know, we've talked about how the Spirit, with the Spirit in us, we are loving people. We are generous people. The Spirit in us, as Pastor Dave talked about last week, helps us discern which directions we should go in life. Well, a Spirit-filled people should also have the watermark of a forgiving community amongst them. And so, I got to tell you, I have thought more about the idea of forgiveness in this last week than I probably have combined in the rest of my life. You know, I've been like, okay, we should be forgiving. I should be forgiving. I mean, I could ask the question, should we be a forgiving people? Yes. It's an easy, everybody knows this, even though they don't want to do it. They know I should be a forgiving person. We teach our kids about this at a young age. I should forgive. You should forgive. So we know this. Should we be a community where people find and experience forgiveness? So church should be a community where people find and experience forgiveness. Yeah? Yeah. That's a pretty safe question. Okay, we should be a community where people find and experience forgiveness. But as I began to like think about this, I was like, you know, forgiveness, that's kind of it's deeper than just that surface. I mean, can you even imagine here for a second the impact that on a community, on Lansing, the impact on Lansing where people find and experience forgiveness? So can you imagine Asbury Church as a forgiving community, the impact they would have on Lansing or on your homes or on your jobs by being a forgiving community? It's a deep, deep thing. In fact, I see forgiveness it's bigger than that. It's bigger than we often think. And so I wanted to ask the question first. I was like, okay, so what is forgiveness? And so I went to Oxford Dictionary. I went to the other dictionaries online. I got a few definitions here. So forgiveness, cease to feel resentment against. Or here's the Oxford Dictionary definition was, stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. Now, the thing that really shocked me about those definitions was that word feel. Because I knew there are emotions attached to forgiveness, but I never thought that an actual definition of forgiveness would involve the word feeling. I'm going to stop feeling something. I'm going to cease to feel something. I was like, okay, so what does the Bible say about forgiveness? And the Bible says a lot about forgiveness. There is a handful of words that are used to define forgiveness, that we define as forgiveness in the Bible, or we use translate as forgiveness. And some of the words can be something that is freely given, something that is given to show kindness to, something that you leave, you let be. All right, I'm going to leave this, I'm going to let it be. This one I like especially, something that you lift off of someone else, something that you carry. It is to pardon, to spare. And I took all those in, and I was like, okay, can I come up with my own definition of forgiveness based upon these pictures? And this is what I came up with. One individual acting for the benefit of another individual. And so I like Eric, and so I'm going to pick on Eric today, so I hope that's okay, Eric. In the first service, I didn't ask Amber's permission. I just started picking on her. So Eric has offended me. He's awful. He's done something awful to me. I'm not going to share with you because I don't want you to think ill of Eric. But according to this definition, if I'm going to forgive him, I am going to act on the benefit of Eric. According to these definitions, I am going to forgive him, even though, man, what a jerk. I'm going to act for his benefit. And so as I was like thinking through this, and I'm chewing on this, and I'm thinking, you know, it's weird. There's something else to it. And so the thing that I kind of came up to, and I got to say, like my wife had to listen to my ramblings all week long. I was like, yes, just kind of... I don't know about any of the rest of you in our household. It doesn't matter what everybody else is talking about. If all of a sudden something pops into my head, I start rambling about it, and I'm like, and everybody else is like, what are you talking about? I said, no, this is interesting. And so I think forgiveness is actually a bit like an aspen grove. So I got a picture of a bunch of trees Kendra's going to throw up there. This is believed to be the largest living organism on the planet. It's an aspen grove. It is located in Utah. It's called Pondo. So if you're not familiar with aspens, like you see them, and it's a tree. It's a beautiful tree. Quaking aspens, we have them in the Northeast here. And you see another tree and another tree. And another tree. The thing that you don't see up here is what's going on underneath. These are actually all connected. So if you have an aspen growing here, it will send out a runner and send up another aspen, and that's how it grows. It sends out these runners, and it's so that's all the aspens in there, not the evergreens, but all the aspens are part of one organism. They're all connected. There is so much going on underneath that you don't see to realize that each aspen is actually a part of a single organism. And they're all together in there. And see, this to me is what forgiveness is. On the surface, it appears to be one thing, me letting Eric off the hook, me just letting it go, but there's so much more going on there. Because I got to tell you, on the surface, us letting somebody off the hook, just forgiving them, I mean, you know how that feels. You're like, man, I don't want to let him off the hook. I want him to know that he hurt me. I want him to feel how I feel. I don't want to do it. And the thing about forgiveness is it feels like, it looks like it's just this, but it's actually so much bigger. And so we're going to like take a few minutes and unpack how forgiveness is bigger, because the Bible speaks, like I said, volumes on forgiveness, both directly and indirectly. And so you can flip over to the book of Colossians. It's in the New Testament. The book of Colossians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the people in the city of Colossae. So Colossae was in the southern part of the province of Asia in the Roman Empire. It wasn't too far from the city of Ephesus. So if you read the book of Acts or read the letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul spent some time in Ephesus. He did not, as far as we know, ever go to Colossae. But he may have gone there, and it's not recorded at some point. But he did not plant the church there. So he's writing to a church that got started without him. But it was close enough to Ephesus that he had some connection, probably knew some people there. So he's writing them this letter, and he's trying to straighten them out a little bit because there's some false teaching, there's some problems creeping into the people of the Jesus followers there. And he's trying to fix problems before they come. Fix problems before they become problems. And so you start out here, and if you go to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 11, and the Apostle Paul is kind of opening up the letter, letting them know, hey, this is why I'm writing you. And this is kind of what's going on. And he's explaining to them why he is thanking God for them. And so if you go to verse 9, it says this: for this reason, why he's thanking God for them, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So it's like, hey, I want you to understand why I'm praying for you. I am praying that, you know, God will fill you with His Spirit. That you will have knowledge and wisdom and understanding through His Spirit. This has been like the whole theme of our series, People of the Spirit, that we need the Spirit of God. The church needs the Spirit of God. The world needs the church to have the Spirit of God. You know, we need the Spirit of God to do the things that God called us to do, to be the people that God wants us to be. We need His Spirit. He strengthens us. He gives us wisdom and understanding and helps us live the life that we have been called to be the people God's called us to be and to do the things He wants us to do. And so the Apostle Paul, right here at the beginning here, is like, here's what you need. You need the Spirit of understanding. And then if you flip over a couple pages to chapter 3, so Paul's been kind of unpacking, kind of giving some instructions, some practical instructions, some explanations and stuff. And so he starts talking about what you should get rid of in your life. He's like, hey, you need to get rid of anger. And you need to get rid of rage and malice, slander, filthy language. Just get rid of it all. In fact, don't lie to each other. Good advice. And he begins to talk about how you should take off your old self. You've gotten rid of your old self, and here's what you need to do. And so in chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, it says this. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I love that because he gives kind of this qualifying thing. He's like, let me explain to you how you should forgive. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So the Apostle Paul, he's like, okay, so here's what you need to do. You need to put these things on. Put on the compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and you need to forgive as the Lord forgave you. I love the thing this reminds me of as I read this was Jesus' prayer and his teachings to the disciples in the book of John. And as he talks to them, he tells them, he says, love as I have loved you, so you should love one another. It's like, here's what you should be doing. You should love as you've been loved. Here, Paul's like, hey, forgive as you've been forgiven. Because forgiveness, not only do we need the Spirit to accomplish this, but, you know, we need to recognize that we should forgive because we've been forgiven. You know, there is plenty of times, you know, you'll hear things like, you know, you should have compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. But I think, and we get this later on, we'll have this here in a second, but, you know, just forgiveness is one of those things that there is so much emotion attached to forgiveness that God in all his wisdom is like, yeah, people, they need this qualifier. They need to understand why forgiveness is so important, that it's beyond just you. That you need to recognize who we are and what we've done. I mean, I don't know about you. How many of you are grateful that all your stuff is not out there for the world to see? I mean, we put a lot of stuff on social media. So there's a lot of stuff out there that shouldn't be out there. But, you know, but aren't you glad that all your mistakes and all your junk of the world, the things that you've messed up on, is not out there for the world to see? But you know what it is. I know what mine is. And I know what God has forgiven me for. And so as Paul's writing this, he's like, hey, you should forgive just as the Lord has forgiven you. We forgive because we have been forgiven. Our forgiveness should flow out of that experience. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us be and do what God called us to do. We forgive because we've been forgiven. And the third thing on that is forgiveness is actually, it's in the very nature of God. From the beginning of Scripture, back in the beginning of Genesis, we begin to see, as we learn about the mess, the reason for the mess that humanity is in, we see God interacting, and he is, from beginning of Genesis, he's like, he's creating ways for reconciliation, for forgiveness to happen, for restoring the relationship. And it goes on throughout Genesis, and there's this amazing moment in the book of Exodus. The people of Israel, they come to Mount Sinai, and they're saying, hey, we want to be the people of God. We'll do what you want us to do, God. We're going to be your people. And they're signing a contract, a covenant with God. And they're like, we're going to do it. You know, Moses is like, here's what the Lord says. Are you going to do it? Yes, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And Moses goes up on the mountain. You know the story. He goes up on the mountain to seal the deal. And while he's up there, they break the covenant. And the Lord's just, okay, I'm done with them. And what becomes this incredible model of restoration is God says, I'm done. Moses intercedes for the people. And in his intercession, God reveals his very nature to him, that he is compassionate and loving and forgiving thousands of generations, which is beyond where we live today. That he is, his very nature is forgiveness. Forgiveness is who he is. If forgiveness is what he does, his whole nature is forgiveness, so much so that hundreds of years after that Mount Sinai event, one of the prophets, Jonah, was mad at God because he knew God was going to forgive his enemies. He's like, I knew this is what you would do. I knew you'd be forgiving. He was angry at God because God is forgiving and he's consistently forgiving. It's in his very nature of who he is. And it's in his nature of what he does. It's the gospel message. Jesus came for forgiveness of sins, for restoration of relationship. The very nature of who he is and what he does. It's the message that we speak to the world around us, that we find in Scripture. And not only is it who he is and what he does, it is how we show his love to those around us. By restoring relationships, by bringing forgiveness, by showing that forgiveness. But so I think an important question in all this, and like I said, this is like, I've been like writing down questions. I'm like, what about this? It's kind of an interesting thought. So one of the questions, I was like, okay, so if forgiveness, and we all agree forgiveness is important, if forgiveness is so important, what happens if we don't forgive? What is the thing that happens if we don't forgive? And I think that I had like three things here. I was like, okay, these are some things that happen when we don't forgive. First of all, unforgiveness enslaves. Unforgiveness enslaves us. So we'll go back to my dear friend Eric. If Eric has like hurt me, harmed me.
Oops.
If Eric has hurt me and harmed me, if I choose not to forgive him, I'm like, no, I want him to suffer. I have actually enslaved myself to him because I am giving him control of my life because my responses are based upon him, how I interact with him, how I interact around to the world around me. I have actually given control because I am holding unforgiveness. I have actually enslaved myself to him. In a sense, I've made him an idol. I've made him God in my life because I am following him instead of him. And so unforgiveness, it enslaves us. It makes us a slave to the other person that we will not forgive because we are surrendering control of our life to them. Another thing unforgiveness does is it hardens our heart. So in the Lord's Prayer, we had a video before during the offering time, the Lord's Prayer, there is this line in there in the book of Matthew where it says, and it starting in verse 12 in chapter 6 in Matthew, it's like, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And just like Paul wrote, hey, here's why you should forgive. Jesus gives this little commentary on forgiveness right after the Lord's Prayer. And he says this, for if you forgive other people, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I tell you, I remember thinking, I was like, so God can't forgive me? There's something that keeps him forgetting. And this is one I wrestled with for a lot of years. I was like, I didn't understand it enough that I just avoided it. Because I was like, I don't get it. So, and which is not a good practice when it comes to Scripture. Don't just avoid it. Dive into the difficult stuff. But so it took some teaching and some learning and some stretching to realize that the problem with unforgiveness, what it does is it actually hardens our heart so that the one who wants to forgive us, our hearts are too hard to receive the forgiveness that he offers. Because if I'm holding bitterness towards Eric, my heart is in no position to receive the forgiveness that God wants to offer me. I have hardened myself to what God has for me. And so if unforgiveness, it enslaves, it hardens our heart. Unforgiveness also, it corrupts the community. And you think about this. We'll take social media, for example. and my good friend Eric. I didn't have, so I gotta like, I gotta need my illustration here. So I've got my phone here, and so Eric is, man, big jerk. And so here's what I'm doing. I'm taking a picture of and posting them on Facebook. Hey, guess what Eric's done? And Michelle, who's my friend on Facebook, she's like, she sees that, she's like, Eric, man, big jerk. What's he doing? And she's like telling her friends, did you see this? You know, repost. And all this stuff and all this. So unforgiveness corrupts the community. So even if God has spoken wisdom into my life and I have realized I was in the wrong in my holding unforgiveness and it's hardening my heart. And so God's working and I've, you know, restored this relationship. I have poisoned our community by my unforgiveness, because Michelle wasn't involved in this restoration, nor was all the rest that was going on there. And when a people who are supposed to be defined by forgiveness holds unforgiveness, that watermark that defines them starts to get blurred. It's hard to see, because all that the community around them sees is, yeah, those people are not forgiving people. Those people, there's some, I may not be able to put my hand on it, but there's corruption in there. There's something wrong with those people. Because we are supposed to be a forgiving community. Because unforgiveness, it enslaves, it hardens our hearts. It corrupts the body of Christ, the family of God. It breaks it. A forgiving community is a watermark on the Spirit-filled people. So then the other question would be, so what does forgiving do? Well, instead of enslaving, it releases. There is freedom in forgiveness. There is such freedom, because it allows me to, yeah, there was injury, but it allows me to start being healed. Because not only is there freedom instead of enslaving, there's healing of the heart instead of hardening the heart. So as I begin to, with the Spirit of God in my life, express forgiveness to those around me, it allows me to receive the healing that God wants to pour into my life. It allows God to be God instead of me. And, you know, let God take care of it and like take care of me. So it releases instead of enslaves. It heals instead of hardens. And then it encourages growth in the community instead of corrupting the community. Because imagine, once again, Asbury Church in Lansing. When we are a healing community, a forgiving community, a place where people can come and find the life and hope that is found in Jesus. Can you imagine the impact that would have on Lansing, Tompkins County, your jobs, your homes, a place where like, because aren't you glad we are not, I mean, okay, so my family has seen the worst of me time and again, and I am so grateful that their love for me is not based upon my worst, because that would be sad. And yet there is forgiveness and love in that environment. And that is, you know, that's one of those reasons God, in the New Testament, they talk about the church as a family. Because a family is supposed to be a place where you find, they know you and they love you and they forgive you. Your family is the place where, like, okay, they know me. There's nothing hiding them. They know my mess. They know all my junk. And they love me anyways. That's how it's supposed to be, the church. We are a family. And when we have that forgiving community here, the impact on the outside. So, as I dove into this, I was like, and this was one of those conversations I told Olivia, I was like, dude, this is huge. You could go on. We could do a whole like summer series on forgiveness. But I want to touch on a couple things here, because the question is, okay, so how do you forgive? And we know this, you know, and we tell our kids, you'll say sorry. Now, how many of you, you started to hit the age where you're like, yeah, okay, that doesn't do anything. Yeah, sorry, I'm sorry. You know, have you heard your children say that? I'm sorry. No, mean it. Hug each other. And so You know, but how do we forgive? How do we do this? First of all, and this is huge, because I know forgiveness is not an unemotional topic. Even when we know we're supposed to forgive, there is a lot of emotion attached to it, hurt. And so it is a deeply emotional topic. And so what I am saying here is not to minimize that. So I want to start with, hurt takes time to heal. It does. And that's okay. Because one of the things I love about following Jesus is he doesn't ignore our pain. He doesn't ignore our hurt. He sits with us in it. He gives us the body of Christ, the family of God, to journey with us through it. Hurt takes time to heal. We need to start, end, and continue on in prayer. So at Colossians 1:9, where Paul's like, hey, you know, pray for the Spirit. You know, I pray that God would give you His Spirit for all wisdom and understanding. In everything, just continue to pray. Because the Lord knows we need His Spirit in us to help us forgive, to help us love, to help us do what He's called us to do. Figure out, and I think this is an important thing, you know, is like, figure out, okay, where do I need to forgive? Sometimes it's ourselves. We're like, you know, I think the person I'm most angry with is me. Sometimes we need to be forgiving ourselves because we are human and we mess up. And God wants to grow us. And your unforgiveness of yourself, once again, can stand in way of God taking you to where He'd like to take you, to loving you like He wants to love you. You know, maybe you're angry at God. You know, God, this is not right. This is not fair. You know, the thing I love about following Jesus is God can handle my anger. He's not afraid of me being angry. And I can take it to Him, and I can talk to Him about it. And there are times, you know, yelling and like all that. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. This is not right. This is just... And God can handle it. And He helps work through it. There are times that we are angry at someone we cannot confront because, well, they're not here. They've left us, and we're angry about it. And, you know, it's hard. And you, like, Lord, they're not here anymore. It's not right. I'm angry about that. And like, you know, it can be helpful and healing to like recognize, okay, I need to forgive them. I know they didn't do it on purpose. They didn't leave me on purpose. But they're not here. I need to forgive them. You know, then there's those we feel should be punished. Which that's, oh man, that's a... I want them to suffer. And this does not mean, I just want to make sure we understand it. Forgiving someone who has caused you harm does not mean putting yourself back in harm's way. It's really important. But it, like I said, because when we hold on to forgiveness, we're hurting ourselves and preventing God from working in us. And so just allowing God to be God, not me. We're letting go and letting God. And just in all this, we need to, as Paul said, put on forgiveness. Forgive as He forgave us, daily, put it on, daily. I love, you know, the early church, the practice was to say the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day. I think it's a great practice. I've tried it a few times, I forget. But when I remember, I try to do it. And that line in there reminds us multiple times a day, forgive as I've forgiven. Forgive as I'm forgiven. You know, forgive my debts as He, the one, you know, yes. Forgive as I'm forgiven. You know, daily. Put it on. Put on forgiveness and lean on the church family. That's, God gave us a family, a community of people that we can do this, do life with, and to lean on Him in all this. So what I want to do is, you know, because I, like I said, I know a forgiving community. It is the watermark of a Spirit-filled people, and I know this is not an unemotional topic. So I want to pray with you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. They're going to close with the song, Great Are You, Lord. And so what I want to do is I want to pray with you and for you. And then while they sing, I've asked Adam and Levita and myself, we're going to just be up here. And if you're like, hey, can you pray with me? Because I'm having a hard time with this forgiveness thing, and I need some prayer in dealing with this. And so we will be up here to pray with you if you'd like. But I just want to start by I want to pray for us all. Lord, once again, we thank you that you have forgiven us. You know us. You know the mess, the junk, the weight of all that we do and say, and you've poured out forgiveness and life into us. Thank you so much for that, for your forgiveness. And Lord, I know this can be a really sensitive topic. And there are people here that are just having a hard time forgiving. Just pray that you, in this moment, begin to work healing in their hearts, healing in their lives. And just with every head's bowed, you know, maybe you're here and you're like, yeah, I'm not coming up front, but you're willing, you'd like to raise your hand. I'll just pray for you right now. And just if you're here and you're like, hey, can you pray for me that I'd just be able to forgive? Because I'm having a hard time with that. Yeah, I see that. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah. Lord, you've seen hands. You know the hearts. You know what's going on in lives. It just, Father, we pray that you would, once again, that your Spirit would work healing in hearts, that we would be able to let go, release the anger, the resentment, and forgive as you have forgiven. Just soften our hearts. Help us to be who you've called us to be. Thank you, Lord.